From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. A fire broke out early Wednesday morning aboard an Alaska Marine Highway System ferry traveling through the Wrangell Narrows. As KSTK's Sage Smiley reports, the fire sent almost a dozen passengers and crew to Wrangell's hospital to be treated for smoke inhalation.
Looking at the ferry Columbia from the shore in Wrangell at about 11:45 in the morning on Wednesday, there didn't appear to be anything amiss. That is, except that the 418-foot ferry wasn't supposed to be in Wrangell. The Columbia should have left for Ketchikan at 6:15 that morning, but an overnight fire in its bar delayed the ship as 11 people were taken off the ferry to be medically evaluated. Stephen Harrison is a crew member on the Columbia. He was part of the fire response team.
In the bar last night at 3:15 in the morning, there was a general alarm went off, and they said that it was not a drill, which is pretty obvious. At 3:15, we wouldn't have a drill in the middle of the Wrangell Narrows. So all the people on Fire Team 1, we jumped up and ran for our fire suits. They told us to get dressed, and we all donned our fire suits, put on our oxygen tanks, and went on oxygen because the ship was filling up with smoke.
By the time Harrison got to the fire, he says it had already mostly been extinguished by another crew member.
But there was still smoldering, so we took water in and sprayed down the bar. So there's a lot of dirt and debris and ashes in the bar mixed with the ABC fire extinguisher stuff. So it kind of made a little bit of a mess, and it's going to take us a while to clean up.
Harrison says his six-person fire team was using supplemental oxygen, which helped them avoid the effects of smoke inhalation. But other crew and passengers felt the effects. Shannon McCarthy is a spokesperson for Alaska's Department of Transportation, which oversees the ferry system.
The crew reacted pretty quickly, but out of an abundance of caution, they wanted to make sure that anyone that was nearby got seen for smoke inhalation.
Emergency medical services in Wrangell transported 11 people to the local hospital for treatment. All the patients had been treated and released from the Wrangell Medical Center by early afternoon, according to a hospital spokesperson, and McCarthy says all 11 reboarded the ship and continued south. Harrison says he thinks the fire didn't cause any serious damage to the ship.
We lost 10 cases of Alaska white beer. Honestly, that's the extent of the damage.
It's not totally clear how the fire started. Harrison says the working theory is that an ice machine in the bar area started the fire.
We're assuming some sort of electrical malfunction, or maybe it was just too close to the cardboard cases of beer. We don't know.
The Columbia came back into regular service on the Alaska Marine Highway in mid-February, after being docked for 3 years as a cost-saving measure. The 49-year-old vessel is the largest of the Marine Highway's four mainline ferries, serving larger communities with cabins and berths for longer journeys. The Columbia was briefly tied up for repairs earlier this summer, after crew noticed issues with one of its thrusters and leaking pipes in the ship's fire suppression system. It's not the only ferry that's experienced mechanical issues recently. The Hubbard was waylaid by generator issues earlier this month. The Alaska Marine Highway is running thin, with 5 of its 9 ferries in service as of August 23rd. The Kennecott, Taslina, and Matanuska are in layup in the boatyard in Ketchikan, and the Lituya is in overhaul until August 24th. Harrison says he's proud of the response of the Columbia crew and fire team.
It proved to us that we actually could respond and do what we need to do in the amount of time that we needed to do it. And it all went out really well. It was a great drill. I mean, it was. It was a live fire drill, basically.
The Columbia left Wrangell heading south just after noon Wednesday, after passengers and crew returned from receiving treatment. DOT doesn't expect the fire to cause any delay to the ship's schedule. It's expected to arrive in Bellingham on Friday morning. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.
Alaska's foster care system has been struggling for years, and the lack of childcare in the state is making matters worse. As Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reports, foster parents often get little choice before they receive a child, and rising prices and limited availability can make finding care for them next to impossible.
Anchorage resident Lula Canty has been a foster parent for 13 years. She's taken in over 40 children and even adopted 3 of them. Now she's up against Alaska's child care shortage.
I would take more if I had daycare or someone to watch the children. But, you know, there's a need.
Canty works full time and recently had 2 babies placed with her, but she couldn't find them a spot in any child care facility.
I had 2 newborn babies, and it was a hard, difficult process because there was no openings for newborns in the daycares. Eventually, I had to find another placement with someone who could take the children.
Canty's not alone. For the shrinking number of Alaska foster parents, finding childcare has become more and more difficult, especially for working foster parents. There are long wait lists to get into many childcare facilities, and foster parents can't wait months for a spot. Eileen McInnes is the director of the Alaska Center for Resource Families, which helps recruit and train foster parents. She says sometimes foster parents will get a placement on a Friday and need to find childcare by Monday.
A lot of families can anticipate that they need childcare because of summer, because of starting to work, coming back from maternity care, but oftentimes foster care placements happen on an emergency basis.
McInnes says another issue has to do with high rates of trauma among foster children. She says it can be difficult to find childcare centers equipped with trauma-informed staff.
Sometimes in childcare, that behavior that might be indicative of coming from a place of trauma might be something that causes you to get kicked out of childcare. And then the foster family, again, has to find a place that can be responsive to that child.
Childcare is also expensive, with the cheapest options often starting at around $1,000 a month per child. Foster parents receive about $26 a day for children under the age of five. Canty, the Anchorage foster parent, says there are stipends from the state to help with the cost of childcare, but they only range between $700 and $800.
So when you add in Pampers, and then you can get some assistance with formula, but it's a resource, but you're still going to end up having to buy more cans of formula and diapers and paying for the extra daycare.
State Office of Children's Services Director Kim Gouay says the COVID-19 pandemic had already strained the state's foster care system, resulting in a decline in the number of foster parents to watch Alaska's roughly 2,600 foster children. She says a lack of childcare is making it even worse.
It's a pretty big problem, and I think it's exacerbating the fact that people don't want to become foster parents.
She says it's even more difficult to find quality childcare in rural parts of Alaska.
You have aunties and uncles and grandparents that could step in and provide some of that care, but they don't have any of the facilities, and sometimes they're not living in their hub communities where their family is.
She says OCS has worked on some solutions, like increasing the stipends families get for children with behavioral or mental health needs, but there's no easy fix.
I don't know the answer to, like, how do we solve this? Who's got the funding for it? I definitely worry about.
There are also regulations in place for foster children since they are wards of the state. Malrina Daniel, who's fostered more than 60 children in her 5 years as a foster parent in Anchorage, says OCS requires that anyone watching a foster child has to have a background check and have fingerprints on file, even if they're only watching them for a short time period.
Let's just say I have an emergency with one kid and I have to take that kid to the hospital or to the doctor. I can't leave that child with, let's say, my mom, right, who's retired and she's home, because she doesn't have a background check and she doesn't have a fingerprint and she's not registered with OCS. And so then you have another layer of, oh my God, what am I going to do now?
Daniel helps foster families who need somebody to temporarily watch the children in their care, but the state has seen a decline in the number of people approved to provide that kind of respite care. As a way to help solve the child care crisis that foster families face, Daniel is currently working to set up her own child care facility specifically for foster children.
My home is already set up because I do foster care, right? And so I have a designated play area, just an entire family room that's just designated for the kids. And so it was easy for me to just transform that into an in-home daycare.
She says she's hoping to start up in the next 3 months, but as one caregiver, she'd only be able to watch up to 10 kids, depending on their age. And the need is so big. Daniel says she'd love to see grants from the state to help other people trying to set up childcare facilities. She also thinks OCS could take a larger role in setting up similar programs. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 70 degrees and sunny out today. The low tonight is 49 degrees. Tomorrow and Friday look like they'll be sunny as well, with highs around 60 degrees, so a little bit cooler. Friday night, there may be some rain on the way, and that looks possible for Saturday and the weekend as well. You're listening to KTOO. For more stories, go to ktoo.org.